Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless. Welcome to Flawed and Free. Hello, everyone. Come one, come all, come on in. Make sure you tag and tell a friend. We are live. Make sure your accountability partners that you've partnered with here at Flawed and Free, that you're tagging them now as you're coming in and as you're seeing that we are now live. And so I would like you right now to begin to tag, tell, like, subscribe, and share this broadcast. If this is your first time coming to Flawed and Free, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are a deliverance and healing ministry, and we specialize in spiritual warfare, and we are excited to equip and empower and educate the warriors all over the world with how to defeat and dethrone and dispossess the enemy and possess the promises of God and enter into the promised land for their lives. And so we are about all things kingdom. We are about all things kingdom here. And so I love to teach and prophesy, and I love the miracle signs and wonders of God, and moving in the mysteries of God is such an amazing thing that God has called us as his servants in the earth. And so I'm proud to be God's faithful servant and coming on here with you all tonight. So I want to say hello to those of you in TikTok land. Hello to those of you in Facebook land, in YouTube land, and those of you all over the land, because some of you will be listening from our Apple, Google Media, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to podcasts. You'll be able to pick this audio up and you'll be able to listen. Some will catch the replay later on YouTube. However it is that you find me and meet me, good evening. So if you haven't been partnering with us recently, or you don't know what's been going on over here in these Flawed and Free streets, we have been going forth in the things of God, which we finna do that anyways. We're gonna do that anyways, but we have been going forth in the kingdom mandate that God has given myself to partner with the Holy Spirit and partnering with him, with you, and all of our entire Freedom Fighter community on the Kingdom Marriage Fast. So we are still continuing our 21-day mandate with God in prayer and fasting for kingdom marriages. And so for those that have been sticking this thing out and sticking it through, usually we have something a little bit more set up, like for our Esther fast, and we have workbooks and we have guides and all sorts of things when we do prayer and fasting challenges. But for this one, it was impromptu. It was something that I was not prepared for. And so the Lord just told me in the midst of me chatting online, talking with the community, and he said, you're going to start fasting with them for the next 21 days. I was like, okay. So as soon as I heard it, I quickly obeyed. Okay. So there was no anything set up. or anything that I was prepared to walk you guys through. A lot of you have done prayer challenges with us. If you have done the Esther fast, so typically we do 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And that's every day that we're fasting. So from 6 to 6 is water only. And then we break our fast. And typically when I fast, I do fast and I take communion. And so we're taking communion. So we're taking communion tonight. So some of you might be ready. I have my communion here ready. If you don't, now's the time to go and grab your stuff so we can get ready to take communion together. And if you don't have this little fancy cup and bread and all of the things like I have right now, that's okay. You can use regular juice or water or something to drink. You can use in replacement of this grape juice that I have. And you can use crackers or a piece of bread or anything like that that's going to be representative of the body. So it does not have to look exactly like it looks here. So let's prepare for communion. I want to say hi to those that are coming on. Hello, Chloe. Good evening. I'm glad you're back here. Krista G, how are you? Sierra, Nershaya. Hi, Lashaya. How are you? Good evening. Make sure you're tagging and telling and sharing this tonight so that people know that we are live and we are here and we are ready to go forth in what God is calling us to. So glory be to God. So if you got your communion, type I'm ready in the chat. I'm getting ready to go forth in prayer. Father God, we bless the Lord. Father God, bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within us. Bless his holy name. Father, bless the Lord, for he has not forgotten all of the benefits. We have not forgotten his benefits. We thank the Father for forgiving us of our iniquities and our sins. Father God, we thank you, Father, that even as we pray and petition your throne this day, as we prepare for covenant, and as we prepare, we're already in covenant, but as we prepare for this communion, we're reestablishing our covenant and our commitment with you. Yes, yes, yes. Get your stuff. We're ready. We've already started to pray. And we come to you now in the name of Jesus as we enter in at this time. We thank you, Father, for the word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, that whoever shall eat of the bread of life and drink of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. So your word says that we should examine ourselves before you, that we should examine and allow the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts. So even now, as we prepare to take this communion tonight, Father, examine our hearts, Father God, filter our hearts right now for anything that is not like you, anything that does not look like you, anything that is not for you or from you, Father God, for your glory in the name of Jesus. Anything that we need to repent of right now, this day, in this very moment, Father God, we repent for the sins, the transgressions, the trespasses, and the iniquities of ourselves. And we ask you, Father, that you will cover each of us with the blood of Jesus and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Father, we thank you, Father, as we commit, as we convene, and as we commune with you in this moment, that we are thankful for the body that was broken and bruised for our iniquities. We thank you, Father, that your body was, even as it was marred and spit upon, as people, as they did ungracious things to your body, Father. We just thank you for the sacrifice that you became as the Lamb of God for us on the cross. So now, Father, as we go forth in prayer, we're remembering this day. We're remembering the sacrifice that you made on the cross as your body was broken for us so that we could escape eternal damnation and we could receive salvation in you. Break and eat ye therefore all of it now in the name of Jesus. So break your bread with me and eat. And we'll now proceed as we begin to petition the throne in prayer for the blood of Jesus Christ, for the blood of the Lamb that heals, that seals, that redeems, that reconciles, that restores and repairs, that brings us back into right standing with God, because it is the righteousness of God that gives us the authority by the power of the blood. Father, we thank you that the blood, oh God, that the blood heals, that the blood redeems, that the blood restores, the blood renews. We thank you, Father, for your blood, your precious, precious blood. And it is your blood that heals, Father. So we thank you that by your stripes tonight and every day of our lives, Father, that it is because of your blood that we are healed and spirit filled. We thank you, Father, for your power, your strength, your glory, your mercy, your favor. And I just am in such awe of who you are in the name of Jesus. So take your communion now. You can drink the juice that you have or whatever the water, whatever you're using for communion. Drink all of it in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for this time to commune in corporate prayer tonight. We thank you, Father, for the manifestation of your will coming to pass. Father, we thank you, Father, that even as we have drunk of your blood and ate the bread of life, Father, we thank you that the blood has made its complete and full atonement for our sins, Father. We thank you for the iniquities and the transgressions and the things that we have now been set free from in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you that your blood washes all of our sins away. We thank you for the remembrance of this time, of this moment, Father God, that we have had with you. And for as much and many times as you need to, for as much as you need to, please take communion. I know some of us that were raised up in the Baptist church, we only took it on what I believe it was like first Sunday or something like that. And I didn't know or understand the significance of communion until later in life. And so I didn't know you could take communion whenever you wanted, right? That it didn't have to be the first of the month, but you do have to receive by salvation and by faith who Jesus is and what he has done for us on the cross. So we don't want to receive or nor take the communion in vain. So we just thank him for all that he has done. So tonight we are going forth and talking about the kingdom marriages and the 21-day fast that we're presently on. And I want to touch tonight on the bride of Christ and whatever else the Holy Spirit is leading us to discuss, to share, to talk to. So even as I begin to go forth tonight, I just ask that the Holy Spirit take over my mouth and my mind and my members right now. I invite the Holy Spirit into this time. I invite the Holy Spirit into this teaching, into this talk, into this conversation, for apart from him, I am nothing, I have nothing, and I can do nothing. So, Father, I partner with you in all that I do and all that I say. And I ask you, Father, that I decrease even now so that you may increase. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Glory, 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 glory. I'm glad to be here with the saints of God tonight. I am excited to be here with you tonight. The Lord is going to move mightily, because that's what he does in these spiritual streets. We are just vessels for the Lord to fill, for the Lord to fill. Lord, I hate when I get tongue twisted and tied. Y'all forgive me, because I'm telling you, my brain be moving faster than my lips, right? I be moving at the speed of light, especially when the power of the Holy Spirit begins to fall on me. So y'all, I'm going to slow down and be a little patient with my mouth so that my mind and the Spirit of God can catch up, or I can catch up with the Spirit of God moving. But I feel led tonight to speak to the Bride of Christ. When we started this 21-day fast, for those of you who don't know, we are on day 13. It's actually probably day 14 for me, but it's day 13 when I announced it. It's day 13. So this is our second week, and we are going into our final week. So after tonight, we'll meet again on Tuesday. And I believe we will meet again on Thursday. I think we will make the 7-day mark for us to meet and convene and commune again. Make sure you bring your communion. Don't forget for this 21-day fast. So we are turning down our plates and we are praying and we're fasting and petitioning the throne of God, not just for ourselves, right? Not just for ourselves, but for others, for family, for future generations, for our children that are yet to come. And so I want to talk about the bride of Christ, each and every one of us that are a part of the body of Christ. And so there's a lot of symbolism in being and partnering as the bride of Christ. And so I want you to understand your relationship with Christ and your relationship, God's relationship with us and the church. We're going to be reading out of Ephesians, but before we get into Ephesians, we see in the Old Testament, God likened his relationship to Israel as a husband and wife. And so in the Old Testament, we see God beginning to express his love and his care for the children, for Israel, not just the children of Israel, but for Israel itself. And there were many analogies within the Old Testament that expressed and it showed the marriage to God. Right. And so there's a lot of scriptures that, as we can see, the worship and we also saw a lot of rebellion, right, in the Old Testament. Thank God for Jesus. So we saw idol worship and the love of other gods and things that even likened to adultery. We saw a lot of adultery and fornication and all of these things in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, the church is declared to be the bride of Christ. And so in the New Testament, Paul begins to speak to Corinthians, and he wrote to the Ephesians. He wrote many letters and many teachings and to the church about being and becoming the bride of Christ. And so we see as he wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. If you have your Bibles, grab your Bibles, because I will be going through a few scriptures here tonight as I explain and as we talk about a little bit about the bride of Christ, how important it is and how important this symbolism is to your natural marriage, to how marriage should be in the natural realm. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 says, and I just got it kind of written down here. I'm not sure what version this is in, but it says, For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And so I know we've all heard this before many times, that God is jealous over you, that God is jealous over you. And so you would think that that would be a negative connotation, but it's not. God does. He created us and he formed us in the likeness and the image of himself. And he wants us to manifest his likeness and character in the earth. And so listen, God don't play. Just like in a real marriage, everybody, I've seen a lot of memes and a lot of reels that my man. And so he is, I know it might sound weird, like, it's like, well, Jesus, my man, oh my God, right? So the saints might come for me with this one, but he's a lot of things. He's our Jehovah Jireh. He's our Jehovah. He's our provider. He's our protector. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He's our brother, right? He is Abba Father. So we know that God has many, many, many names. So before you get all ruffled up over there, saints, don't worry. We speaking from the word of God. No worries. But he is jealous. He is jealous over his beloved. He is jealous. And so espouse, E-S-P-O-U-S-E-D. E-S-P-O-U-S-E-D. I want you to, somebody, if they could put that in the chat. And so espouse is somewhat like an engagement. It's like an engagement. And as I've been speaking with the Lord and praying and ministering and studying in his word, just about marriage and kingdom marriage, and what does it look like for the body? What does it look like for women? What does it look like for men? What does it look like for the church? And what should we be looking for in our potential espoused? And our potential spouses. And so the espoused is like an engagement. Truth be told, though we are the bride of Christ and God's returning for a spotless, blameless, blemishless bride, right? He is coming back for the greatest marriage ceremony of all. Truth be told, we are still espoused. And as I was talking to the Lord about it, because I was like, I'm not, you know, we're married, though we are married to Christ. We're in union with Christ. We are like one with him. This is very true. But in a lot of instances, we are considered to be espoused. And this is a season of engagement. And so this is a place where you are preparing to be married. And so a lot of people, when they get married or when their man, right, gets down on one knee, let me not find you women of God getting on one knee and proposing to these men. Y'all, it's out of order. Let's not do it, saints. Let's repent. Let's repent and let's be found by the King, by the man of God that wants to pursue you properly. So let me not find out that the saints of God is out here, the women of God, the mighty women of God are getting on one knee and proposing. But nonetheless, the Lord began to speak to me about the engagement process in becoming married and getting into the place in which you become the bride. Though that is the goal, but there is a process to the espousement. And I'm gonna give you an example of this time of espousement. Remember when Mary and Joseph connected and she became pregnant, right? She became pregnant in this espousement kind of season in preparation. And she was preparing even for the Messiah. She was preparing to carry the Son of God, right? Jesus Christ in her womb. And so as she even partnered with Joseph, and as the Holy Spirit filled her with the presence and the power of Jesus, right? And so it was a miracle. It was a miracle that was performed, but there was a season of preparation that Mary went through as she was carrying the Messiah. And so there's a season of preparation as you are the espoused to God and as you are preparing for the return of Christ. And so if you remember the story of the 10 virgins, the five that were prepared, the five that were not, the five virgins with oil, the five that were not. These are all not just parables, but these are all analogies, and these are all metaphorically in some ways, and even simile, and in a simile kind of way, we see where the characteristics of how God has called us to prepare for his return, for him coming back. And so we have lots of scriptures that not only speak that God is referencing not only just Israel as being his bride, but as the body of Christ being his bride. And there's a process to becoming a wife, to becoming unified, becoming one with God, becoming one with the man and or the woman of God that God has commissioned and called you to. So if you have a desire to be married, and so God has placed that desire in your heart, we see in the scripture, we see the word of God that shows us what this preparation looks like, what the season of becoming espoused, which is an engagement season, to preparing for God, Jesus Christ, to return. And so let's start by reading out of Ephesians 5, verse 25 through 33. So Ephesians 5, chapter 25 through 33. If you guys are ready, I'm going to give you a second because we're going to get into this scripture. I'm excited. Some of y'all waiting to get engaged and become the bride, but you already are that. Amen, amen, amen. So right now we're talking about a little bit of symbolism of marriage, what that looks like spiritually and naturally, and the church being the bride of Christ. And now we're going to get into Ephesians 5, 25 through 33, which expresses and reveals the relationship of Christ and the church. And in the natural. So in verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. I'm reading out of KJV version now. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So we see selflessness, we see sacrifice, and we see that one of the commandments here in Ephesians 5:25 is for first husbands, as they are listed first, as the head of the households, are called to love their wives. It doesn't even say that women are to love their husbands, but in this scripture, it says that they are to love their wives as Christ has loved and loves the church. And he gave himself for it. So there was a sacrifice of his life that Jesus took on the cross for the church. Now, verse 26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I'm gonna pause on verse 26 for a second, because we always, and especially men, right, love to use, you know, scriptures of submission and scriptures of this and that, but we don't look at 26. We skip right over over verse 26 that says that he, it does not say she, right? Though there are scriptures that speak to the spouse sanctifying the marriage. In the Bible, it does speak to the spouse, not just man, but wife, the male and female, both wife and husband, sanctifying the union, sanctifying the marriage. So it's not just the responsibility of one person. However, in Ephesians 5, verse 26, it speaks to that the husband, the head, that he might present that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So saints, let me give you a tip here tonight for the women of God. And even if there are men here, I want you both to listen and listen good. That when you are seeking and searching for the man of God, I know we're looking at a lot of attributes and a lot of things. Does he pray? Does he love God? Does he even believe in God? Right? Are we equally yoked? And are we on the same path? Do we like the same things? All of the things, right? And so some of us have some very vain lists. Some of us have some very vain lists. But the Lord has truly, truly, truly in his word given us the blueprint for what we are to look for in the men and the women of God. So both men that are listening to this broadcast tonight and the women, it speaks to he, meaning the man, the husband, is called to sanctify the home and doing so and to cleanse it through the washing of the word, right? The washing of the water by the word. So your husband is supposed to be in the word. He's supposed to know the word. He's supposed to be in the word, and he's supposed to be constantly cleansing and sanctifying you and the household in the word. Okay, so this is the responsibility of the husband, which is also Jesus Christ, right? As we are the brides and he's the bridegroom, there is no way you can have intimacy, communion, and be in covenant with God and prepare yourself for his return if you are not allowing yourself to be cleansed by the washing of the waters by the word. It says water, not waters, the water of the word. So we know that the word of God is a very, very important part of the marriage. It is something. Now, your husband ain't got to be a theologian. He don't have to have 20 degrees or have his doctorate in divinity or anything like that. But it is the head of the household, meaning the man, the husband. It is his responsibility that just as it is Jesus Christ of Nazareth's responsibility to wash us and cleanse us and to sanctify the bride and the home in the word of God. So it's more than prayer. It's more than how they look and how they smell. It's more than how much money they make. It's more than how tall they are, how short they are. It's more than if their credit is right, their credit is good. It's much, much, much more. You could truly be missing out on some very key things that you need because you need a man that can mature, that can be mature in the word, that can be mature in his walk with God, that will seek God with what this looks like for the household and for the woman of God. And so verse 27 says that he might, so he's still speaking to the husband, he's still speaking, it says that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so be clear, saints of God, that your relationship not only with Christ, but the relationship with the church, in order for the revival to take place and for Jesus to return, he has to come back for a bride that in 27 that is spotless, without wrinkle, without blemish, and that is holy. So this is a process not only of sanctification as an espoused man or woman, as an espoused, E-S-P-O-U-S-E-D. This is a part of your engagement. This is a part of your preparation process for the return of the bridegroom, because he's coming back for what I just told you, right? A spotless, wrinkle-free, blemishless body. And it must be holy and pure. So for those that think that they can enter, partner, and gain access and gain the riches and the resources of heaven, the rewards of heaven, the gift of favor that comes with finding a wife and being found and crowned by their king, there is a process that makes you, that allows you, that gives you access to the bridegroom, that gives you the yes, that God gives you the yes for you. And so it must be done through a sanctification process by being purified and by preparing, by reading and being washed in the water and cleansed in the water of the word. And so these things you should be looking for as intricate and intimate characteristics for the man and or woman of God, even in the earth, in the natural realm, when you're looking to go from being espoused to becoming a bride, or for a man that's looking for his bride. Nonetheless, there is a unification, there is a unity that comes with two flesh becoming one, with two becoming one. And so you can't align yourself with Christ if you don't look like him, if you are not a part of who he is, because he's connecting himself with you. So why would he connect and why would he commune in a place that is not sanctified, cleansed, and pure and holy? I did not say perfect. I said seeking sanctification, cleansing through the word, washing of the word, and purifying and a living a pure and holy life before God, because this is who he's coming back for. He is not coming back for those that are straddling, that are indecisive, those that cannot discern, right? Those sorts of things. He's looking for a confident, cleansed, healed, whole bride. That's what he's looking for. And he cannot come back until this happens. And so we're getting closer to this as we're in a great season of awakening, right?
Hey, Freedom Fighters, it's Tina, your host from Flawed and Free Podcast. Are you experiencing spiritual attacks in your dreams? Do you have questions about spiritual warfare and deliverance? Or are you just seeking Holy Spirit-led advice and wise counsel? I have great news for you. We are now offering one-to-one consultations to set you on the right path to purpose. Why struggle alone in your own thoughts when we together are a part of the body of Christ? Therefore, we must help one another. So as one of his servants, it would be a pleasure to support you on your journey from your now to your next. Go today, do not delay, and book your consultation with me. You can go to theflawedandfree.com, or I will put the link in the episode description of this podcast, and you can go there and book your session with me. God bless.
Now, so you're starting to see deliverance ministries pop up and all sorts of ministries that are beginning to help equip and empower the body with sanctification, because salvation just ain't gonna cut it. And that's what we lived in, the once saved, always saved kind of mentality for years. All I got to do is say, yay, God, I believe, and I can live my life the way that I want, and I will still enter the kingdom of heaven, and I will still be with Christ. And that's not necessarily so. That is not necessarily so. There is a responsibility that comes with your preparation process. And as you can see from the parable of the 10 virgins, where five were ready, five were not, five did not enter. And the door was closed. shut. This is a simile. This is indicative of what it will look like for many in the church, for many in the body of Christ that have not prepared properly, that have not prepared during their espoused season, that have not taken their engagement season seriously, that have not taken their single season and the preparation to go through deliverance, sanctification, and the process of purging and being filled by the Holy Spirit and getting their oil ready for the return of the bridegroom. And so the day will come and some of us will be raptured up and some of us will not. Some of us will make it into the kingdom of heaven and some will not. And it is dependent upon your process. It is depending upon what you have done and what God deems as ready for his return for you to be received by him. So verse 28 says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And so be careful, women, be careful, because just as Christ loves the church and he loves his wife the way that he loves himself, be careful of the men that you're considering and saying yes to. And men, be careful of the women that you're considering becoming a wife to you, because you are called, whether she does what you want her to do, whether she doesn't do what you want her to do, whether she is filled with the Holy Ghost and doing what, all of the things, it is your responsibility as the head to sanctify and to not only that, but to love her the way that you love yourself. So if you find a man that you can clearly see does not love himself, do not expect him to love you properly. Do not expect the man to love you. Now, you can pray for him. You can probably, but you're not his savior, right? The Lord Jesus Christ is his savior. And it's just not your responsibility to save him. But God may call you to pray for your future husband and pray for the man of God in his process until you're found. And you will continue to pray once you become married. So your process doesn't end once you become married and you cross the threshold of the altar and you become one. It actually just begins. And I've said this before in some of these broadcasts past. But nonetheless, this is another thing to look for as God loves the church and as he has given himself for us, as he's given his entire life for us. Will the man of God or will the woman, will the man give his life for you? Will he love you more and just as much as he loves himself? As we're in a world where people are lovers of themselves, this vanity, all of this stuff that we see where people are so about themselves and it's all about them. You cannot be in a marriage with Christ and you certainly cannot be in a marriage in the natural realm thinking of only yourself and only what you desire, what you want, what you need and all of these things. You have to love the way that Christ loves the church and loves himself. And so we see in verse 29, it says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Listen, for no man yet ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And so we see some mama's boys and all of the things where we see where you have not, where the man and or woman has not leaved and cleaved is what they call it. And you see a lot of infiltration in marriages because we see the wife or the husband is still allowing the parent or the mother or the father to have a seat in this spiritual marriage. They're allowing them to make decisions for the household. They're allowing them to do and say things that are really out of order completely. And so in verse 21, we see the Lord speaking to this. In verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And so as women of God, we are called as brides, as the espoused in our engagement season, we are called to reverence and honor. Reverence is a place of honor, is a place of respect. Reverence, let's look up real quick. Let's look up the word reverence. Even as you reverence God. And so let's see, this dictionary looks like Oxford Dictionary. I'll read reverence. It says deep respect for someone or something. Deep respect for someone or something. The verb says regard or treat with deep respect. And so when you reverence your husband, as Ephesians 5 verse 33 speaks to, it says the wife see that she reverence her husband. Reverence is very important in respecting the man of God, respecting Jesus, the bridegroom, and having a deep respect of reverence and honor for him. And so it says, nevertheless, that just as every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. So we see love and we see this reverence for the husband. And so we see a lot of divorce. We see a lot of things happening, right, in marriages because of the respect. There's no respect. And so we must learn, mature, grow, and seek the Holy Spirit with finding that reverence, seeking him with how to reverence our spouses properly and what that looks like for the body of Christ. And so we don't want to be disrespectful, right? We don't want to be disrespectful in the things that God is calling us to in our marriages. We don't want to. So even if we feel disrespected, it truly doesn't give us a right to not reverence, to not be respectful to the man and or woman of God that we are not only espoused, but that we will marry, that we will become one with. Glory be to God. And so in Revelations, before I get to Revelations 19, I want to talk about the depth of the love that God's calling marriages to. And so there's a sacrificial love that we see that Christ committed his life to on the cross. We see this sacrificial love, and this is the way that we are to walk and move in love. And so this love, this depth of love is probably something that none of us can understand really. We're trying, we're doing the best we can, but the best example is Jesus Christ himself. And we see that sacrifice of love for the bride, which is the church. We see that what he did on the cross. And so I want to encourage each and every one of everybody that's listening to consider their response. Consider your response to your Heavenly Father, to Christ Jesus, because he sacrificed, and that's a love that he gave his life for. He gave his life so that you can live, so that you can live not just for today, but live through eternity. And so he came as a man in the earth. And he took on the sin and the iniquity of the entire world. And he who is blameless, he who is without sin, took on all of your sin so that you could be free and you can live in power and mercy and favor and abundance, and that you could have authority so that you could be saved from eternal hell and damnation. And so he took on and sacrificed himself so that you could experience this type of love, this depth of love. And so not only is it a commitment, it was a commitment that he made in carrying out the commissioning of the cross. And not only that, but being resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is God that also is it loves us unconditionally to infinity through eternity. And so I want you to consider to even now, as you're thinking and you're seeking God and you're going before the throne of God, about the characteristics and the qualities of your spouse or your future spouse, or even the one you presently have, with how do I move in this type of sacrificial love, that though I can't and I won't go on the cross per se, but I will carry the cross that God has given me. I will die to my flesh daily, not just when I feel like it or when I want to, but that I will carry the cross that God has given me and walking this walk with him, and that I will always petition and partner with the Holy Spirit with how to love at this depth, at this is deep love, y'all. This is deep love. So what is your response to what God has done for your life? And so whether you're single or married, I want you to really think in your mind, what has been your response to God in this area of love and sacrificial love? And what is your commitment now, even moving forward and preparing to love the man and or woman of God that he has for you? Now, in this spiritual preparation I've already spoken to tonight for the return of Christ Jesus, it encompasses three main things, which is holiness, purity, and devotion. And so holiness, purity, and devotion is something that you need not only in the natural realm, but in the realm of the spirit, in carrying out the commission of Christ to love the church, right? To honor and reverence with respect and deep respect, but to prepare for the coming of Christ, to prepare to receive the bridegroom. And so there is a feast in Revelations chapter 19. Let's go to Revelations 19, chapter 7 through 9. So what a glorious time it will be when God comes back, when he comes back and we prepare for this great feast that we're going to have with him. So just as you have a reception, when you get married, you want to party and be merry, and everybody's excited about their dress changes and all of the things. There's some dress and changing going on in Revelations. There are some garment changes that are going on. Your old body will die and you'll receive a new eternal body with Christ. And so on top of the fact that you'll receive this new body in the return of Christ Jesus, you will also have a reception. One of the greatest receptions that you'll ever have is this feast and this preparation with God in Revelations 19. So preparing for the bridegroom, this spiritual prep is important, and it must be done in holiness, purity, and in devotion before him. So preparing for the wedding feast with the Lamb and his bride, this is the time which we will be united with Christ. This is the time in which not only will we be united with him, not for a night, not for a moment, not for a season, but in and through eternity. So this is going to be the feast of all feasts. This is the wedding reception of wedding receptions. I know they got shows on Netflix on weddings and how to prepare for your wedding and saying yes to the dress and all of that. But listen, God is going to give you some new garments, some robes of righteousness, okay? He's going to exchange the old for the new. We're going to be glistening and glowing in the glory. Glory be to God. And so how exciting is it? So be excited for this time, for this union, and for this celebration that we are going to have as the bride of Christ, because you're going to be ready. You're going to be prepared, because you're going to go through your purification process. You're going to seek to live a pure and holy life. You're going to be committed and devoted to this walk. And so people think, ask why? Why can't I just be saved and live my life the way that I want to? Because this is who God is coming back for. He ain't coming coming back for nothing but what looks like this. And so you want to be counted. You don't want to be left outside, right? Not prepared and not ready with your oil, like the five virgins that were not ready. So in Revelations 19, chapter 7 through 9, Revelation chapter 9, Revelation 19, 7 through 9. I'm going to start reading while you guys are getting your Bible. It says, let us be glad and rejoice. Let us be glad and rejoice. Hallelujah. My God, I'm excited. I literally want to jump out of my chair right now. Who is not excited about getting married? Who is not excited about saying amen, 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 walk down that aisle and come and get them? Who is not excited about the feast and the reception and the glory and the worship and all? Who is not? How can you not be excited? If you're excited about getting married in the natural realm, why would you not be just excited, if not even more excited, about seeing your groom, about seeing your God, about seeing your Heavenly Father come back for your girl? Come get me. Come, because it's ghetto in these streets. Come get me, Lord. I don't want to go a day too soon. But the word of God in verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice. I couldn't get past it because the rejoice had me excited and jumping like popcorn in my seat. So let us be glad and rejoice. I'm going to get past the rejoice. I'm sorry. I'm still there. And give honor to him. Give honor. We already know that we're going to give honor where honor is due. If you can't give God praise, if you can't worship God now, if you can't give God honor, if you can't respect him with reverence and honor, why would he invite you to the feast? Why would he cross the threshold and marry you? Why would he bring you in to himself? Why would he? Now, he is God, right? He loves us, but he won't do it against your will. But nonetheless, it is his desire. It is his want. It is his wish. It is his will. Glory be to God for every one of us to come to celebrate and to break bread, to rejoice and to honor him. For it says in verse 7, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Listen, it's this KJV. Y'all read Revelations 19, chapter 7, verse 9. I'm still in chapter 7. It says, let us be glad, rejoice, give honor, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. I want you to now type into the chat, ready. Type ready. Are you ready? Will you be ready? Are you getting ready for not just getting married in the natural realm? I'm speaking to those in their single season, but are you getting ready for the bridegroom? Are you ready for the marriage of the Lamb? Are you ready? It says in verse 7 that you will be glad, will be rejoicing, we give an honor for the marriage of the Lamb, which is the Lamb of God, right? The precious Lamb of God and his wife, meaning you, the church, right? You, the bride of Christ, right? The wife hath made herself ready. It's if you get ready, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. So now's the time to fast. Now's the time to pray. Now's the time to seek his face. Now's the time. It's too late when he comes back to now try to get ready for him. It's too late. Look at the parable of the 10 virgins. It's too late. Now is the time to ready yourself. Let me keep going before I get way over somewhere else. And so verse 8 says, and to her, right? He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to the body of Christ. He's speaking to you, woman of God. And to her was granted access Come on, y'all. Access granted. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Here comes those new garments. Here comes that dress. Are you going to say yes to the dress? Say yes to the dress. Type in the chat. Say yes to the dress. Everybody knows how important the dress is to the marriage. To many, right? Maybe not to some, but a lot of people put a lot of emphasis and focus on the dress. And so I get it. Like, I get it. We get it. But there's a new dress. There's a new dress. There's a new garment that the Lord, my God, let's read 8 again. To her was granted. That means given. That's a grant. That's something that God has given you. You ain't got to buy it. You ain't gotta spend your whole life savings on this dress, right? You don't have to. The dress that God is giving the bride, the dress that he is granting and covering, this fresh garment is what? Let's go. Let's keep reading. It says she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. It is the robe of righteousness. It is righteous. Listen, this dress is white. It's white. It's fine linen. It's clean. It's pure. It's holy. This is a new garment that God is going to place upon you in preparation for this wedding feast with the Lamb of God. And then verse 9 says, and he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage. It says, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And so the supper is food, dinner. I don't know if you guys have heard it being referenced as supper, dinner, right? This feast, this wedding feast, this is a time of celebration with God as we sit with him. And it's going to be a heavenly arrangement. This is going to be a heavenly scene full of honor and glory and new garments, new clothing in Jesus' name. And they're going to be beautiful. This is going to be a beautiful time to sit and honor and worship and be granted access to the kingdom of God in the best way possible. And we will be celebrated and we will be rejoicing with him. Glory be to God. So I'm excited for our responsibility as the bride, as a part of the body of Christ, as a member of the body. We've spoken to tonight the symbolism of marriage, the church being the bride of Christ, what that looks like spiritually, what it looks like in the natural, how it's symbolic to what your natural marriage should be and look like, and how this relationship with Christ in the church, how it looks like. And of course, the ultimate wedding with the Lamb and the bride and the feast of celebration that comes with that. The feast of celebration when God comes back for his bride, how glorious, how wondrous, how lovely, how honorable, how beautiful it's going to be. Glory be to God. So I pray that you guys tonight, as we're continuing to turn our plates down in prayer and we're calling the men of God to their rightful places and positions as the head of their homes, as the priest of their homes, as they begin to look for the wife, the woman of God that God has commissioned and called to their life, that he will wash them in the water of the word, that the women of God will honor and respect him, and all of the attributes and all of the characteristics that are what we should look for in partners and in the espoused, treating our engagement time properly and sincerely. My God. Listen, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. If tonight blessed you, put an emoji in the chat, put it whatever you want. You can put a fire emoji or whatever. If tonight truly blessed you, I'm going to tell you it blessed me as I began to speak and partner with the Holy Spirit. And there's more. There's a lot more. We're right under and right about at our hour that I was receiving more revelation and more understanding on what the role and the responsibility is to us as a part, a member of the body. And even for those of us that are married or waiting in our waiting season, waiting to become married. Come on now, come on in Jesus' name. So I pray that you will steward this season well. I pray that you will steward this season well in Jesus' name. So you got to get ready. Type it in the chat. Get ready. Type it in the chat. Get ready. Get ready. Glory be to God. Get ready. If tonight has blessed you and you would like to sow a seed into this ministry, into tonight's teaching, or even into your kingdom marriage, into the expectation and into your process of salvation, into your purification process, to whatever it is that you're seeking God, that you're planting and putting a seed in the ground for today, whatever you placed on the altar until you get to the altar, because the time is coming and the groom is coming back and he's coming for his bride. Whatever part of the process that you may be struggling with or that you may be concerned about, bring it before the Lord. I know that I am constantly asking the Lord to search my heart and to prepare me for what he has for me and who he's called me to be as a woman of God, as a bride of Christ, and even as a wife, you know, what my responsibilities are, because we don't know everything. We don't always do the right thing. And so we want to continue to allow our flesh to die. And so as I'm even fasting in this season, I'm asking God for the things that he wants to cut away, that he wants to remove, and that he wants to mature in me. And so I know we're thinking about, you know, what's to come and the benefits of marriage and what we plan or what we hope to receive from the union. But I really want you to steward what you have. And right now you have a lot. You have time on your side. You got health on your side. For many of us, you have time to really sit in the with the Father, right? Because when you begin to share this space with someone else, you have to strategically find this time to still seek God and to still be in his presence. And you don't want to ever, just because you got married, right, begin to neglect God. Remember, God's a jealous God. We read the scripture in Corinthians that spoke to God being a jealous God. And so God, listen, we can't put anything before him, not even the marriage, not even the promise of marriage. So I just implore you and encourage each and every one of you, those that are single and waiting and those that are presently married, to continue to seek God for what this walk, what this journey, and what your process looks like, so that you can be found spotless, blemishless, pure, holy, prepared. In Jesus' name. So I pray that this blessed you. God bless you all. And we're going into this last 7 days of this fast. Press through. Press through. It's 6 to 6. Water only. You can break it after 6 and eat what you like, right? Prayerfully, I mean, I usually do a Daniel fast, but seek the Holy Spirit, what that is for you. Whatever that is for you. I know I've been rocking this thing out and I've been laying with the Lord. And I'm telling you, he's showing me a lot about myself, even in this time, as I'm covering the kingdom marriages all over the world and for whatever God has assigned and called me to. So for all of you that are partnering with this ministry and myself corporately, I thank you all for your strength. I thank you all. Thank you so much, LaShia. I thank you all for all that you're doing to partner in prayer and to really seek God for the plan for his body, for his bride. Good night. May God bless you and may God keep you all. Bye-bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com/give. Or you can Cash App us at $flawedfree on Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.